Dr. Steve Salzman, thanks for waiting through the we heard from the mayor just now, and I know you were on the line that time, so thank you. How are you today?
All right. Everything's good. How are you?
Okay. I just like to make sure all our healthcare workers are okay, so that you just know. So Green Care Medical is where we find you. What?
I said your parade idea is taking steam.
Are you hearing this? Hey, it's just a great idea. We're just keeping it going, and I'm happy it's been brought up to the mayor's attention now because we need to make that happen. It's just got to happen. I don't know when, but it's got to happen. Dr. Steve, They are. I got to ask you about this because I have seen this everywhere. And I saw it on Facebook and Twitter. I've seen it in even seemingly legitimate news sources. I've seen it shared and people are passing it around. And you need to weigh in on this. We need to hear from you. It is a 10-second self-test for developing. It's telling if you're developing any coronavirus symptoms to see if you have it. Basically, let me describe it because it will ring a bell for people if you've seen it. They ask you to hold your breath for 10 seconds, and if you have no difficulty, no stiffness, no coughing, no problem, that you don't have, your lungs are fine and you're okay. And the whole thing is a total hoax. Isn't that right, Dr. Salzman?
Social media, once again. You know, once again, you can't cure stupid. Holding your breath is ridiculous. Oh, and by the way, since we're going, let me dispel another one that you didn't ask about. Drinking water every 15 minutes. It won't do anything to the virus, however you might urinate on yourself.
That's the result.
None of these things are true. You know, reality says patients that have intrinsic lung disease, smokers, asthma, anxiety, all might impact when you hold your breath to have some kind of symptomatology. But to have anything linked to holding your breath in corona is insane, moronic, and wrong.
Don't believe it. That's right. I wouldn't even have brought it up if I hadn't seen it. Honestly, in the context of news stories, so much so that the AP was forced to print out sort of an alert to news organizations to say, hey, if you see this, this is not true. It came out of some quote-unquote study out of the UK, and it is based on total falsehoods. That 10-second self-test is not doing anything for you. Let's get to this whole mask debate, because it seems as if, you know, that's been going on for a while. You just heard Dr. Allison Arwady, the city's point person on coronavirus, address it there in the news conference. The CDC is taking a look at whether or not they should change their recommendations about who should wear masks. Right now, it seemed like sick people who would cough on you or sneeze on you and spread the virus, and then it was healthcare workers who critically need these masks, particularly the N95 ones.
This is a very controversial topic, but let me break it down. And let me start, before I break down the mask, by telling people what the most recent data is showing. It actually appears after they did testing, aerosolized testing, and several other institutions have spoken out about it. It appears that the coronavirus is by droplet and by contact, not aerosolized, meaning that you're much more at risk to touch it and then inoculate and infect yourself, which is why we keep talking about washing your hands being so critical. Now let's go to the masks for a second. There are potential benefits to the masks, right? It stops you from potentially spreading the virus because it catches respiratory droplets that come out of your mouth or your nose when you're there. So that's one of the things it could possibly do. The other thing it might do is it might reduce the potential for asymptomatic carriers to unknowingly infect other people. We are hearing about patients who are asymptomatic, but yet they can still infect people and they don't even know. And for those people, I suppose a mask would potentially be beneficial. But since I just spoke about it not being aerosolized, you're more at risk for touching it and then getting it through the air. If you're 6 feet away and very short time spent around an infected person, the chance of you catching it is significantly lower than if you touched it while it was on a surface and touched your face. So I'm not exactly sure how this is going to pan out, but washing your hands is way, way more critical than the masks. Of course, you're a frontline worker. That's not the case. But for the general public, I believe it is.
All right, let's mention that. There's some sound we have here. It was the Surgeon General was on cable news last night. I think this is a Fox News clip. He was one of them, and along with the CDC and the World Health Organization, who were saying people stop buying the masks. He was asked about it last night.
If you want to put that aside for healthcare workers, we get that. But if it could actually help us, we would, well, would love to know.
Again, but again, the data doesn't show that it helps individuals. Here's the bottom line. If you're sick,
we know
wear
in China they walk around with them, right?
Yes, and they have a culture there of wearing masks, and everyone already has one, and they're more accustomed to wearing them without touching their faces. If you're sick, wear a mask. If you have a mask and it makes you feel better, then by all means, wear it, but know that the more you touch your face, the more you put yourself at risk.
That's what his point was, that it causes you to adjust the mask and touch your face more and take it off and put it back on, and, you know, it could be an infection on the out. Who knows? I mean, he was saying that that would be a risk, too, that you have to keep track of.
Right. We're not used to wearing a mask on our face. So if I bet you, if you did a social experiment, Anna, I bet you touch your face more, you know, because you have something on and adjusting the mask and washing your hands is more important. God bless that man. I think he's such a good thought process from him.
Does seem to have a good heart, as most of our leaders do right now. I really have to say that they're trying to do their best, trying to get the word out, and that's where it stands. I just think it was surprising to hear that the guidance might be changed for us. So we'll wait and see what they say. The other thing we got to get to, this is news today. Northwestern University Hospital, a couple local ones, University of Illinois Hospital as well, they're going to start using one of those antiviral drugs you've been talking to us about lately. I think is this the one for Ebola that they're using?
Well, several of them actually have been testing Ebola, but yeah, it's called remdesivir. It's an antiviral drug. This is actually a pretty interesting drug. It targets the system the virus uses to replicate itself. It's like if you hijacked an office copy machine as part of a company-wide prank. That's actually how the drug works. And it was developed initially for treatment in the Ebola virus, which was correct. Initially, and within the last few weeks, this was investigational, and it was not FDA approved. But because it showed promise, it began to get used. But let me be very honest. I know the sort of backdrop behind this. It's very difficult to get, and the only patients that can actually get this drug are patients that are currently in clinical trials. They actually have a randomized, double-blinded prospective study that's getting started at Rush, because I know people are part of it. But if the drug potentially shows promise, the data is not really there yet. And if you're not in a clinical trial, you wouldn't be able to get hold of the medicine anyway. But again, like hydrochloroquine and azithromycin, in a situation that we're in with this pandemic, it's absolutely worth a shot. And we'll see what the trials show several months from now.
Yeah, I know those families said that they were happy to be taking part. In many cases, they have much older relatives, sometimes with underlying conditions, and are very, very worried with them in intensive care. So they're happy to be part of that trial. Finally, can you please try to help us out here? We get a lot of questions about this, Dr. Steve, and it's, why is it when we announce health officials, whether it's state or federal, local, why is it that they only announce those who have died and not those who have recovered?
All right. I know what Governor Pritzker talked about, it difficult to track, but allow me to dig deeper and speak on his behalf. This is why it's quote unquote difficult to track. Number one, what does recovered mean? Is recovered off the ventilator? Are you discharged from the hospital? You know, so the definition of recovered is very hazy. Secondly, long-term sequelae aren't even known. So, you know, one of the first people that got sick, the gentleman was treated, he was fine, and then a week or two later, he developed a significant pneumonia. And so now he's back in the hospital. So is he recovered and sick again? So that's a second problem. Mm-hmm. And then we don't have enough widespread testing yet, Anna. We don't even know how many people have it or who have potentially had it. And that, obviously, that information not only is more important, but we don't even have that. So I don't even think, even if they could try to come up with a number, you know, we wouldn't even accurately know, quote unquote, recovered. But if you want to get down and dirty, here's what I would define recovered as, or at least if I was listening to it with a critical ear. Mm-hmm. Without any further anything, I would say you subtract the death rate and the remainder who are alive are, quote unquote, recovered. But boy, that's not your... We talk about head injury recovery, for instance. You know, patients could be in a persistent vegetative state, but they're alive. Some people would say that's not recovered. So these are all the problems you get into with statistics mixed with clinical scenarios. That's why it's difficult.
Yeah. Hope it helps, because we get that question all the time. Dr. Steve Salzman, thank you. Green Care Medical is where you find him. He treats people with chronic illness and chronic pain, and I know you're seeing patients, so thanks for the time, Dr. Steve. Hopefully we can chat with you again tomorrow.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. We're going to check in at 2 o'clock hour with your employment answers, questions answered, I should have said. And also, if you're a small business owner, we're going to talk about some issues for you, some ways to help, coming up here on WGN.